back, travelers, to your referral roadmap. This podcast is dedicated to helping you unleash your personal and business revenue potential by cultivating referral relationships. In this 10-part series, we're diving deep into the dynamic realm of target markets. We'll be exploring how understanding and effectively tapping into target markets can be a key driver of success, offering insights and strategies to master this essential aspect of business. Today, we'll be going through developing a customer-centric business with our special guest, Taylor Richardson, founder and CEO of Thrive Insurance. Welcome, Taylor.
Thanks for having me on.
We are so excited for the nuggets of knowledge that Taylor is going to be sharing. But first, we thought it'd be helpful if we explain what we mean by customer-centric. So putting it simply, it is a business that takes it, or that places its customers at the forefront of its operations, strategies, and decision-making processes. The primary goal of a customer-centric business is to meet and exceed customer expectations, deliver exceptional value, and create long-lasting relationships with its customer base. Now that everyone's on the same page with what we're going to be talking about today, Athena, did you have a story to share with us before we begin our interview with Taylor?
Yes. All right. So I'll keep the story short for you listeners today, because I am so excited for you to hear Taylor's story. I've got to watch it over the last decade. And I'm telling you, if you're on a treadmill, you're in the car, you're going to want to take some notes. So save this episode to be able to listen to it again, because I'm telling you, he's going to give some words of wisdom. By the way, for those of you listening, I respect Taylor's advice. So there's often times where I've had to call him and get his advice, and same with my business partner. So this is a noteworthy episode. So I'll keep my story short, Jaina, today, if anybody believes that, right? All right. So let's talk about a customer-centric business. And here's the story. So if you know me, and if you don't, I got to tell you, you got to look up Darren Hardy. So Darren Hardy is in the personal development space, and he is a product of Jim Rohn and his upbringing. And when I first got introduced to Darren, now I followed Darren in Success Magazine, and I understood who he was because I really enjoy personal development. I have for two decades. But in 2015, I entered his world, if you will, and paid for his course, which was quite expensive, but worth every penny. And I got in there. Here's what I got to tell you. Darren's awesome, but his team is what makes him exceptional. So his whole thing is be the exception. It is his team. His team make it about the customer. Every interaction you have with Darren and his team, it's about you. You feel like you are the only person they're talking to. You feel like you are a superstar. And so I'll never forget, and this is a story I want to really share. I'd went to this one event. Now, mind you, we're talking global leaders, thousands of global leaders, right? So who am I? And I went to this thing in 2015. In 2017, so a couple of years, right? I go to this in-person event, and Maggie, who is on his team at the time, saw me. You guys, there was 400 people in the lobby. She saw me and she said, "Athena Captain, that's you." And I was like, oh my gosh, she remembers me. And she came running up to me and she was like, "Oh my gosh, you signed up for VIP, didn't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she took me right to the VIP line, made me feel like I was having a red carpet experience. My husband was so impressed. He put it on social media. My wife's the bomb. You know how these people treat her here? Here's the thing. Listeners, they do that for everyone. So I want to ask you, in your business, if you're just starting your business, or if you're in sales, or if you're in leadership, do your customers feel like Maggie made me feel? And if not, let's listen to the words of my friend to figure out how we do that for our clients. I know, in just saying this, I know Jada and I are going to go back and do some work to improve our situation. So we'll be taking notes today too. But before we get into the interview, we know we have lots of listeners out there that are like, "I like your story, but I want the facts and figures." So Jada, help our other listeners out that want the facts and figures. Give it to them, girl.
You know, I will always bring the facts. So, all of these will be linked in the show notes. There's quite a bit to get through. So, again, they'll be in the show notes. Don't feel like you have to write all of them down. Some of them are from Forbes, some of them are from another area. If you're not a facts person, please feel free to just go ahead and skip the next maybe 45 seconds to a minute. but I will dive right in. So, a 2% improvement in customer retention equals the same amount of profit as cutting costs by 10%. 89% of consumers have switched to a competitor after poor customer experience. I can relate to that. I'm sure you all have your own stories. I have mine. So that feels very relevant. Consumers will pay a 16% price premium for a great customer experience. Customer-centric companies are 60% more profitable than companies that don't focus on customers. More than 89% see the customer experience as a principal factor that drives customer loyalty and retention. 84% of companies that work to improve their customer experience report an increase in revenue. So there you go. How do you get more revenue? And then 74% of customers feel frustrated when website content is not personalized. Loyal customers are 5 times more likely to purchase again and 4 times more likely to refer a friend to the company. Last but not least, 90% of CEOs believe the customer has the greatest impact on their business.
That okay, can I just stop? Okay, we're having a mic drop moment on these numbers. Okay, so we're looking at high numbers here, right? 84% increased revenue. That's crazy. And 89% will switch. And so I don't know. Everyone, you guys, the questions we get asked all the time, how do I make more revenue? How do I get more leads? Hope you're listening to this. All right, Jada, I won't interrupt you anymore.
Again, I will make sure all of that is noted in the show notes, but we do have a special treat for our travelers today, Taylor Richardson. He is a business leader, founder, and CEO of Thrive Insurance. We've asked him to be here today because we've witnessed Taylor build a thriving but a bunch business, which embodies the attributes and qualities that we are discussing today. So, welcome, Taylor. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, how you got there, and yeah, we're just happy to have you.
Yeah, happy to do it. First of all, appreciate you guys having me on. Athena said, she takes my advice or asks me for advice, and I appreciate that. But you can't give advice without a lot of failure, so that's part of the process, right? So, I'm not some guru by any means. I'm just a person who's failed a lot and willing to, take the next step forward. So, short version, I've never been employed. I was a lifeguard once, but people tell me that doesn't really count. So I've always just figured out a way to make money. But I started in insurance, about 20 or so years ago, pretty close to that. And I started this company, I guess it's about 12 years ago, from scratch, which is like the worst possible idea ever. It's awful. Like, I mean, it's awful. It's terrible. It's so bad. I'm lucky I have the amount of hair that I have right now, and there's a lot more gray than I had, 10, 12 years ago. But I love it because it's a business, and I love solving problems. And a business is just a big giant ball of problems. That's all it is, right? So I started this company 12 years ago. We changed names about 7 years ago from Elite to Thrive. We're independent insurance brokerage. We do a lot of personal lines, a lot of home and auto, and then a lot of commercial. We're one of the top agents, in the state, top in the country. We're top 10% out of 45,000 independent agencies in America. So that's why I have a lot of gray hair.
First of all, I just love, I want to say, Taylor, thank you for staying consistent to yourself, for being honest. So often I hear people say, I'm going to go be entrepreneurial. I'm going to go do a business because it's going to be easy. And I'm going to, travel and get rich quick. Those of you who are listening, that is not reality. This is a business leader who has extreme results and will be the first one to tell you that this journey is complicated, difficult, but worth it. So, with that same idea, how did you learn your path to prosperity and profit by building customer-centric business? How did you learn that that's the way to do it?
So, I I didn't really understand this concept when I started, you know, about 20 or so years ago. What I thought was, like, in my head was kind of like what you see in movies, like how business should be conducted and how top performing salespeople behave, which is, you know, some degree kind of like, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, whatever the movie's called. But as time went on, not only was I was successful, but not very successful. But more importantly, I just didn't like what I was doing. Like, I felt like internally conflicted about how I was operating. It wasn't sleazy. I just didn't like it. I just didn't feel like it was like my lane of how I wanted to operate. And so so I started this company 12 years ago. And when I started this company, I realized what I was doing before when I was with a, you know, captive insurance agency. What I was doing then is not going to work right now. You're like, you're starting from scratch. It's a different game. And so after about 6 or 7 months into starting this company, I still had this internal conflict. I was just exhausted, working so many hours. And I was driving down the road one day, and I had my come to Jesus talk with God. I was like, listen. Like, here's the thing. If I cannot be successful just by helping other people get what they want or adding value to them, and in exchange referrals and business will just come my way, I'm out. Like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And by the way, God, I'm going to give you a timeline. I'm giving you 3 months. I'm going to go hardcore for 3 months, and I'm going to give it all I can give. And then at the end of that 3 months, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to just realize this is not my path and I need to go do something else. So part of that process was focusing on the customer. And if your client is your actual consumer, your business owner, or if it's a referral partner, which is kind of both in some cases, focusing on them and just how you can help them out. That's kind of how I discovered it, sort of by accident. It started with this internal conflict of how I felt and just in some ways just kind of doing the right thing, but just helping other people. And then it just snowballed from there.
Wow. I love that. I didn't know that was going to be your answer. I should have, knowing you, but I really hope listeners are hearing that. You know, he took a different path, and we already heard about his success, and that path was not about what we call in this podcast whack-a-mole selling, just hit them over the head with objection, boom, boom, but actually adding value and have a relationship to them. So, wow, powerful, very powerful. So one thing that you alluded to is which client. Now, this is, can we talk about that for just a second? It's a little bit off the questions I was going to ask, but I think this is important. So one of the things is you do have a business, and we'll talk about that, that your client, the person buying insurance from you, has a wonderful experience. But let's also talk about this other client you have. And what is that?
Well, what we discover is we have like five different clients. So you have your consumer, your business client, the person who buys the product or service from you. You have your insurance carriers, because we're a broker, we work with lots of different insurance carriers. And then you have the underwriters, who are the people who say yes or no to what you're doing. That's a different customer. And then you have all your other vendors and partners. And then, of course, you have your team. And like, your team is one of the most important customers, right? Take care of your team. Everything else, more or less, will take care of itself. So when we discovered we have, you know, 5, 6, 7 different types of customers, to help us realize, you know, in each area, not only just to be sort of aware or cognizant of how you're treating people, but also creating in some ways different avatars, if you will, you know, personas for the type of clients that you're looking for and the ones that you're not looking for, you know, for that matter.
I love that. So I hope you guys heard that. So you recognize that your suppliers, your referral partners, and your client. So then did you have to create a system to add value and wow factor to all of them?
So yeah, for most of them, yeah, some of them are easier to maintain, okay, of course, but just as an example, like the consumer or the, you know, business owner, those are pretty, you know, pretty basic. Everybody knows kind of how to do that. There's lots of things you can do for it. But creating like a wow factor when you're recruiting new team members, whether it's a salesperson, a service person, or a leadership, you know, somebody on the executive team, how to wow them through the process. And then especially when they get in, Taryn calls it love bombing, right? How to love bomb them for the first week or so. But also, I think one of the biggest things that was sort of a game changer for us was teaching our team internally that when you're talking to an underwriter and you're trying to, I mean, you're a salesperson, they're the buyer, they're trying to help us, you know, make this deal work for whatever reason is. Like, not only are you trying to win this deal, get them to say yes and get maybe an exception on whatever the situation is, but you're representing the company, right? So like you're, what you say to them, how you say to them, how you present your case as to, you know, why they should take on this client or why they should maybe give you credit for this business client, you know, towards their premium or something. All that stuff matters, but also this is a long-term relationship. This is not the last time we're going to talk to this person. So don't piss them off.
Hey, Jada, there's a drop. There's a long-term relationship moment right there. Boom. Don't piss people off. Are you saying just be kind?
Yeah, just be kind. Like, be, you know, represent the company well. So the other thing about that is when people come in and they're new, we tell them, you know, be a professional when you're talking to people and when you're email, you know, communicating with people, but talk to them like they're your best friend, right? So you're a human, you're nice and helpful and all that type of stuff. But you be a professional about it, you know? And so that's helped us quite a bit, whether it's with clients or referral partners or especially underwriters or carriers, just helping them understand the whole sort of ecosystem of the different types of clients that we have.
Mm, wow. I love that. I don't think I've actually heard that articulated in your business space. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything that took you by surprise as a business leader when you really shifted your focus on thinking about the customer's pain, frustration, or desires? And you can think through all of your multiple target markets. Was there anything that took you by surprise that you naturally wouldn't have known until you changed that mindset?
So what's fascinating about this is two things caught me by surprise. One, how easy it is to find what the common problem, pain, frustration, whatever it is. It's the same. It's usually just two or three things that people are pissed off about that somebody in their industry doesn't do well. And it's the same thing over and over and over. So for us, for example, and this is for 20 years, I've heard the same thing from referral partners that we're talking to, why they're upset with, you know, the current person they're using to current or new clients that we're talking to, prospects. For us, it's two things. My agent never calls me back. Second thing is my rates went up and nobody called to tell me why. Like, they're mad that the rates went up, but it's also insurance. Like, kind of know it. They just want somebody to pick up the phone or shoot them an email or something, right? So the second thing I realized is most of the things that are frustrating from a consumer standpoint or client standpoint, honestly, like, it's usually the basics of business, what we consider to be the basics of business. It's usually, most of the time, it's communication of some sort. And so those are the two things that surprised me the most. One, it's very common. It's usually, you know, just, it's not a lot of things. It's not 12 or 40 different things. It's usually two or three different things. And it's usually something pretty basic, which sounds, you know, when I first started in insurance or in business, there's no way you could convince me that like the best way to grow a business is being really good at the basics. There's zero chance you could have convinced me of that, right? But as like time goes on and you read more and more books, or you listen to Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos or Howard Schultz or whoever it is, they always come back to the same thing. There's all this glitz and glam and all this stuff to attract clients and keep people and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, great businesses that are around for a long time, they're just very, very good at the basics. And not to say we don't screw up. We screw up all the time. It happens, right? Flossom, you know, awesome with all our flaws. But, you know, we just own it and fix it and move on, right?
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because I have experienced that in my life and in my business. And so I hope that resonates with our listeners and that you were able to see that it is the fundamentals. It's the basics. And the glitz and glamour are the icing. They're not the cake, right? And I think too many people want to just focus on the icing. And then anyway, bad things can happen in that case. But I do have, I want to talk to you, shifting gears a little bit. You have a reputation of having a fabulous team. You have a reputation of a team that follows up, a team that remembers people, a team that makes people feel like Maggie made me feel. And I know anywhere I'm at out in town, if I see any of your team members, I get a hug. They make sure they communicate with me, talk with me. How, as a leader, did you do that? How did you get them from a commission breath attitude? And commission breath is, this is what I say, is where they're just waiting for the next checkbook, looking at the consumer as a dollar sign, to this attitude of caring and real relationship. It's not even trickery or fake. It's an authentic relationship. As a leader, how did you do that?
Okay, so I'll tell you a story real quick. So our friend, mentor, Darren Hardy, all you have heard, I think, and talked about Darren multiple times. He told us a story, I don't know how long ago, probably 7-8 years ago, when he was at Success Magazine. He was going to interview whoever the CEO is of the Ritz-Carlton. And as he's waiting to interview the CEO, he's interacting with the employees of the hotel. He's seeing them interact with other people. They're all so nice and pleasant and like polite and just really great things to say. So that's interesting. So the CEO sits down and Darren says, I've got to ask you before we start, like, how do you train these people to be so dang happy all the time? Like, I don't get it. Like, how do you train them? The CEO laughed and just said, Darren, you can't train people to be happy. They're either happy or they're not. Just don't hire the people who aren't happy. Like, if you have a happy environment, don't hire the people who aren't happy, right? So he's like, oh. And I had the same reaction when Darren told that story. I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. And so one of our core values is outrageously helpful. So we hire people who naturally, just in their personal lives, you know, going out throughout their day, they just naturally want to help other people. You can't train that, in my opinion, that I know of. And so we just hire people who naturally would want to help other people. And it just makes everything a lot easier. And whether it's a salesperson, whether it's a service person, whether it's sales, whether it's a retention person, whatever, if they are outrageously helpful in that role, then the byproduct of that person being outrageously helpful is going to be success in that role.
Wow. Great nugget there. I want to go deeper with your team here for a second, because you've been able to do something that I know listeners that have a team or want to grow a team need to hear. And that is, as you've alluded to, you've had some struggles, you know, starting a business from scratch, right? You've struggled. But you not only have had a team that was customer-centric, relationship-centric, helpful, but have fortitude and strength. They have gone with you through your storm and stayed with you. Do you hire that too, or did they develop with you?
That's a good question. So I think that is a combination, in my opinion, of grit, you know, from the individuals, and then also leadership. So, and the leadership piece of it is, you know, in my opinion, not stuff you see in the movies. And of course, I'm saying this looking backwards. Right. Like, at the time, I didn't know it. But just leading with what I call truth and love. Okay. So whatever the circumstances are, whether somebody gets to stay or not stay, whether their company's struggling with something, you're struggling with the people. Like I said before, business is just a giant ball of problems, right? Business is solving problems for a profit. Like, that's all it is. And so your problems don't go away. The problems are always there. And fun fact, your own reward for solving problems is bigger problems, because the problems that you had before, you already know how to solve, right?
Another mic drop moment right there.
If you're thinking the more you're in this, in a business, the easier it's going to get. No, you just get bigger problems, right? You know? So anyway, I feel like I got really lucky. I'm very blessed to have a good team. We've been through a lot, but a lot of it's grit. Grit they developed, you know, along the way, some of it that brought with them, of course. But at the end of the day, you know, I wasn't afraid. That's a lie. I was afraid. But I was afraid, but I did it anyway. Just, you know, spoke with truth and love as far as, you know, what was going on, what we're going to do next. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, I don't know what we're going to do next. I don't know. Right? I don't know what the answer is. But, you know, I'm not going to quit on it, right? So one of the things I learned over the last probably 4 or 5 years about quitting, because I've always been conflicted about quitting, right? Because winners never quit and all this crap, whatever. I quit stuff all the time, right? And so I'm like, well, what's the dynamic here? And so what I discovered that I'm teaching my kids is don't quit because it's difficult. Quit because it's not worth it. There's a difference, right? So I quit stuff all the time that's just not worth it. I'm like, forget it. Like the potential outcome of this and whatever result I get, I'm out. But if it's just hard and difficult and it's taking a long time, and I'm an extremely impatient person, but I know I can see, you know, through the vision of what we're trying to do, that it's worth it. Then you just keep grinding through, right? But as you go along, just as best you can, speak with truth and love, and it makes it a little bit easier.
Oh, wow. And Taylor, you have officially won the most mic drops. That is fabulous. That was yet another mic drop moment. That was fabulous. So the mic drop moments, those listeners are the nuggets we really want. Jada and I are like, hey, when you're taking notes, you really want to make sure that you're taking some notes there. That was fabulous. All right. So as we wrap up, I know your time is really valuable. I want to ask you, what is something that you want to say to our audience, the people out there starting a business, just started a business, leaders, sales professionals? What's something that you're like, hey, here's my best piece of advice?
Oh boy. There's not really one piece of advice. There's so many. But I think a lot of it has to just do with perspective in business, whatever it is. I said earlier that, you know, business is solving problems for a profit. So don't be surprised if you have problems today. That's part of it, right? That's what you get paid to do. Same thing with your team. Like, my team used to bring me all sorts of problems and they would complain about it. And I would explain to them, business is solving problems for a profit. If you're not solving problems, if we don't have problems, like, none of us have a job. So don't complain about the problems. Be thankful that you have the problem to help solve for this client. You get to be a hero to them because you know how to solve it, right? You're just going to be a hero to them. So, and then the second thing is just understand what the basics are of your business, whatever that is. I kind of call it like our true north, right? So when you get offline, if you have this true north of where you're heading and you get distracted by shiny objects, all the glitz and glam of social media or whatever, the icing, as Athena called it earlier. And I am like the world's worst at getting distracted by all the cool stuff that's going on. Just remember, whatever you do, just create a good foundation of the basics. And over time, as you grow, that stuff's going to break. And just know that all the things that you have to solve today, you need to do a good job making sure that you're taking care of the basics.
Wow. I don't have anything to add to that.
Nothing sexy. It's not sexy. You know, I'm sorry. It's not nothing sexy.
He's like, it is not sexy, but it is the work, right?
It is the work.
You know, what's sexy and fabulous is the relationships you create, and those create referrals, revenue. You build your team. You build your business. These are the things that we went into business for. This is why we're doing it. So this is the true, like Jada and I like to say, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the journey that it really takes. for you to actually achieve these crazy, audacious goals. So Taylor, thank you so much for being here. Jada, what's next?
Of course. So the big question is always, you know, how can we stay connected? So if you're wanting to get connected with Taylor, whether for insurance or I think he was going to talk a little bit about recruiting, but if you want to get, if you want to get in touch with Taylor for insurance, then you'll reach out to his team via his website, and we'll make sure that that is linked in the show notes below. And then Taylor, I believe you wanted to touch a little bit on recruiting, if someone were to want to work for a leader like you. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If somebody's looking at making a transition from, you know, a current insurance agency over to us, happy to have a conversation. You can reach out to me directly. My direct line is 405-241-9711. Or shoot me an email, taylor@thriveinsurance.com. And I'll be happy to have a confidential conversation with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Taylor, for explaining that. And we will make sure to link your website and your email in the show notes below, as well as your phone number. That way, anyone who wants to get in touch with you can. And then also wanted to let the listeners know, if you're wanting to stay connected with Athena and I, there's two ways. One, we invite you to join the Success Revolution. That is our weekly blog where we bring you real talk and real strategies straight to your inbox. It is called the Success Revolution, and it is fueled by relationships, referral, and revenue. So we'll make sure to link that in the show notes below. And the second way is to make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast. Join us next week as Athena brings real talk and real strategies on finding your niche where your business fits in the market. Thank you again for your time today, Taylor.